Well, hey now, thank you for listening. That's so nice of you to be here. This is the Six of Discs. This is the currently solo show of the Six of Swords series. The Six of Swords is in its second season, so this is a Six of Swords season 2, Six of Discs episode 2. If you're not confused already, good, because it's the 42nd episode. It's one of those kind of Wayfarer, Pathfinder, this is really happening kind of things. And this episode goes in its own directions as it needs to. I get around to covering most of the important things that I'm trying to cover. This show itself is usually the solo show amongst other shows, but without further ado, I get into about how that's going to change in the future moving forward. This is the part in the show where the executive Hollywood credits get read, so those who have donated at the executive level at 300 and more will get their names read. Those who donate at the associate executive producer level of 200 and more will also get their names read at this point. And thank you to all those who donate. It goes towards the show and to helping maintain that, as well as directly back into you for when you play the Value for Value role-playing game. You just go to occultfan.com and hit donate on the donate button, or even better, just go straight to paypal.com, enter occultfan@gmail.com into the payment email, and put in how much you feel this episode is worth to you. Thank you so much. And that is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, by the way. Donating to the Six of Swords show and the Value for Value role-playing game. And with that, and without further ado, let's do this. Towel, and don't panic. It's the answer that we're all looking for. But in this world, we're not going to get any answers. We're not going to get any final yeses or nos. There is no answer. Answer's not even the way to look at it. Just like we're not really in need of saving, it's not really something to be answered. What we're going through, what you're in right now, you're listening to the voice that's coming through your senses. I mean, really, when we pose the situation as if it's something to be solved rather than to be experienced, right? There's the problem I keep hearing about. So it's not so much that there's an answer to the life, the universe, and everything. But what got me thinking about this was that my origin, your origin, all of our origins are the same as far as I can tell, and they're infinite. It's in the Tao. It's in the inexpressible, unexpressible, breathing in and breathing out. And the structures that we've put on these things, this is what I find fascinating and find myself dreaming. If you go to MIT with 42 and 33, you'll find this fascinating triple cube solution or problem or some kind of way of expressing a slice of reality. I believe David Day has in Alice Decoded the expression of what pi represents through the Sir John Tenniel illustrations of the mushroom that Alice is in the Charles Lutwidge Dodgson books of the Victorian period, 1860s, was trying to express by how if you reach one way fully around and then you grasp the other way fully on the opposite, the 180 degree, you're bound to get something, in this case the mushroom, one side was poisonous, one side was not, so if you reach fully around, you'll at least have one side of each, was the concept. It wasn't poisonous, in fact, it was one side would make you grow smaller and taller. That's right. I suppose on what you want, one's poison, the other one's a cure. Remember, it's the right and wrong thing. Poison and cure, it's all about the perspective, I suppose. But ultimately, there is a divine truth that we're trying to get to in this world. And so, when I say that there is no answer, there is no answer, but there is an answer, right? There's a way to be. There's a maximal way to be in a way that is divine and in accordance with the Grand Architect's so-called plan, bringing us back around to something to do with 42 and how life's not actually something that needs to be solved, but something that needs to be expressed. danced, if you will. When I was 23, I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for the second time. The first time was when I was 21. It was interesting. It was during a period of my life, during a big shift, when I was going from living and going to school as somewhat of an English major-ish at UMass Dartmouth, and I switched over to a different school and ended up with a, you know, fast forward, triple major, triple minor, but this is back in the origins, and I was transferring over. It was the summer of 2005, and I was taking a math course, and I was living at this new school, and I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and of course, therein is posed the, what is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, and 42 is the answer. I think that I want to try to express something along the lines of, what is it that is most useful to the time that you're spending listening to me right now? Right? How can you get a grip, so to speak, and immerse yourself at the same time? I'm trying to open up a touchstone here for you, create a space for you to return to if you want to listen to this again or however it works. But before I get even too far into talking about the MIT concept of what 33 and 42 have to do and with living in accordance with divine geometric patterns and in the cycle of the world, it's just fascinating to me that today is the 42nd podcast, so-called, that I've done this in this radio series of the Six of Swords, in this case the Six of Discs. And it should be momentous and fortuitous that there are all sorts of markers in the world right now. It's the 29th of February, in fact. It's the leap year of the Year of the Rat. You'll only get leap years in Rat and Dragon and Monkey. We three happen to get along quite well. Some of my favorite people are monkeys from 1968, for example. And I love dragons, too. And my rat people, for sure. So, as it were, looking at the notion that we used to have a calendar, speaking of different calendars, we used to have one I was reading up on, and it was actually through the Scottish Rite Northern Masonic Jurisdiction website, and I was reading about the way that the calendar used to be compared to how it is now. And this has been a bit of a bee in my bonnet, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, because, you know, recently we've seen, I have this 2013 t-shirt, There Are Other Ways, that was made by Charles Eisenstein. It was a rare one. I think he's affiliated with MIT as well, now that I think about it. But anyways, so is the Baffler magazine. You know, who's not? Nostalgia critic. Alright. So, what am I doing here? Dude, I'm not buying time till I find the Scottish Rite website link. What are you talking about? There it is. Alright, great. What, you know you can edit your own podcast, Nate, right? Yeah, but, you know, I'm in it right now. I'm doing my thing. I'm in the flow. You sure are, buddy. You sure are. All right, thank you to the brother who wrote this. Looks like it says February 20th to March 21st, 2020. And that's the event date. All right. Tomorrow is Quadrennial Leap Day. That's today. I'm reading a bit from this now, and all full credit to the brother who wrote this. It says we have an extra day. Observance is we ensure the calendar to be consistent with what we prescribe the seasons to be. Prescribe. So the word prescribe, right? You know, like, well, anyways, tool dissectional. To understand the reasoning of a leap day, one thing needs to be established. 365 days in a year is a misnomer. Well, let's have fun with language, shall we? The solar year of the Earth is 2.42 is an 8, 365, 6 and a 5 and a 3. That's an 8, and an 8 is a 16, is a 7 and a 76. All right, anyways, 13 is a 4. Thanks for listening to that. Was it number porn? To ensure that the calendar stays aligned with the seasons, our Gregorian calendar uses the rules governing leap days. All right. Long story short, it says that we used to have a 10-month calendar, and this was, I guess, like a Julian calendar. It says Julius. But, you know, of course, you know, Anno Luciae is different than what we're using now. And here's the sticker, though. It was only 309 days long and had an unorganized winter period that lasted about 51 days. Already, I'm like, you know, if you like threes, if you're, that's 309, and then you had a plus 51, right? Which is naturally 360 for a perfect circle. A disorganized winter period? It sounds like what we have now is a disorganized winter period where we ask a gopher to tell us what to do. I mean, come on now. The ritual and the craziness aside, returning to a 360 days... I mean, would this change everything about the lessons of, you know, there are 24 hours in a day? Is there some kind of need for this? So this is what I return to. Is this the squaring of the circle? And what does a lunar calendar have to do with this? And, you know, what does the harvest logo have to do with the moon? Harvest moon, anyways. I guess that's something to do with the lunar cry. And you'll forgive my meandering mentalities. I'm just trying to figure out the 42, of course. Something about 11-11 and Jacques de Molay in my own family history. Yada yada, right? I guess the only other thing that would be just to add in the stream of consciousness, the Invisibles and Pink Floyd and probably something like Alex Gray's artwork. Now, what did I just do there, right? Well, anyways, I'm figuring out the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And it's somewhere between the 10th Doctor and Narnia and perhaps Through the Looking Glass and some other, you know... I read A Wrinkle in Time when I was 8. So let's bring us back around, because I went through this really intense period that I feel it was a very shamanic ritual, a rite. I mean, we're going to I've been through several, right? But one of the ones that we're directing our attention to now is the transitional period between the period where I went back to school, in fact, in my birth town. And I was there, and I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and then I began classes. And then a summer, I read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at the end of... It was August 2007. I was up in Maine. Oh, my God. Oof. It was a great time. We had... I still remember we picked up some blueberry sausages from, I believe, a Stop and Shop up there. Oh, my God. Heavenly for breakfast, that is. Yeah, and I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide again. Didn't even pay him any mind. And up until now... You know, I'll say that I've read the book twice. Those were the two times I read it. And then I ended up leaving that school right after that. All very symbolic, very interesting. And then, of course, I was 23 at that time. Or I was 22 when I was finishing reading it. It's August. So, anyways, the point is I leave. And, I basically came to Norwood not too long after that. And, it was my own... portal, Stargate, you know, eternity experience, I guess, in a way. It's hard to express, and, you know, I'm speaking, of course, poetically throughout these, I speak, you know, though I may speak with the tongues of men and angels, I try to speak with charity as much as possible, and that is being comfortable for me, a poetic thing. I am primarily a poet, that is largely my role in the society, poets, prophets, and priests. The kind of sum is greater than the parts with what we do with our work. And that's why, you know, again, I can't just exist on my own. I need you guys. I need the feedback. I need to give you guys this filtration of what the reality is like and then see what you guys think, you know, and then see if we can build it up. But as far as alembically being concerned, you know, as we are nearly about at what... If you look at this, you know, we're about at the 13-minute point in, and, you know, this is basically my alembic for you. This is what I'm doing. You know, in the future, we're turning the show into a seek and search and maybe even find. We're going to be doing Six of Discs Earthworks Adventures, where we catalog areas and look at different places of fascination and mystery and interest, from cathedrals to earth mounds to mystical forests. And crop circles, if any of them come around here, that would be great. Those are the kind of things that we'll be exploring. Especially if we could find us some crop circles. That would be great. That would actually be a yes. Please bring us some crop circles. That'd be wonderful. Now, we're going to take a quick second and just assess where we're at. I've been kind of giving you about a circumnavigation of the ideas of which this idea of 42 has some kind of grand mathematical desirability to it, with the 33 and everything. And it is the 29th day of February, so it's one of those made-up days of the year, and I'm trying to say that there was something interesting. You can look up on the Scottish Rite website this great little article about how it used to be 10 and now it's 12, and there's something about base 10 and base 12. God, man, there's so many... Can you imagine? There's so many super intelligent people out there that know what I'm talking about that I just wish that... you know, I would love to, you know, just really figure this... Anyways, that's my 00-degree... Pluto in Scorpio. I will know everything at the core eventually. It's like I'm driven to, is the point, you know, whether or not we can. Like I said, there's no answer, so I know it's an exercise in 42-lility. But, you know, I will say something. Isn't that interesting? It says, the reform leap days skip certain years and have to be the leap to be February 29th rather than doubling of February 24, or 24, 42. And there was a famous woman who was born today, an Indian woman. Gosh, she was a theosophist. And the name is escaping me right now, but she actually lived until the 24th of February after being born on February. So that's interesting. Yeah, she was a dancer, actually, and her husband died when she was, like, really young. Anyways, yeah. She was a theosophist, and eventually I'll figure out who it was. But in the meanwhile, yes, theosophist birth, right? Typing while you're... Oh boy, theosophy. Order of the Star in the East. Huh. Okay, that's what you get when you type in Feb 29th theosophists. Well, anyways, the long story short is, y'all know who I'm talking about, and she was married to a... Adams or something. Yeah, anyways. So, long story short. That really threw me off there. But, yes, she was actually born on the 29th and died February 24th. That was the whole point there. But it seems like there's some kind of squaring of the circle going on here. Roman Empire had fallen. No central figure to control a calendar. Anyways. Now do I know. Anyways, moving forward, I can't remember her name right now, but basically, when you look at what the whole thrust of human effort is, there's something, I think it's a large degree of, you know, because we're just looking at numbers, and you can look at numbers, but there's no, like, meaning attached to them, and it's not just meaning, but, like, ultimately, everything is self-fulfilling. Like, creation is for the sake of creation itself. You know, you write a song about writing a song, you know, it's the thing is for the thing. It's somewhere between, like, a deep Japanese, deep French, deep, you know, Mayan understanding of the world, and I'm just making up that last one, but we're all... It's ultimately, in a way, like the dream time. And I mentioned Charles Einstein, and obviously, you know, people like Bill Mollison need to be brought up, and how Gordon just had his recent episode about, you know, talking about these signs' importance. I mean, this is what this is right now. My skin in the game is, frankly, I am a magically operant, largely Christian-influenced... chaos magician who is a Freemason in several different bodies, loves it, who's a amorc Rosicrucian, loves it. And I run the Invisibles Reading Group. I'm a host of a podcast. I'm a professional rock star. And I also write these crazy, amazing certain pieces of fiction. Other ones turn out to be books that help elevate consciousness. And then I'm also in love with JJ, and she's awesome. She's a rock star jeweler, and she's a ladysmith. So all of these different things, you know, I'm just doing these things. These are the parts that I play. It's not going to answer the question. You can never really answer the question. But I think this is kind of the idea, because, like, there's still got to be, like, a mixture of, like, there's a place that we're going, like a telos, a kind of, you know, a direct purpose, or in some words, an end. And I want to spread this concept while I've got your ear here, while you're with me for these however many minutes that we're going to be together after this. 10 more, who knows? I'm going to read to you from the calendar of wisdom that Leo Tolstoy has made. And Tolstoy opens by saying, "To move, you must know where to go in terms both of everyday motion and..." So this is the sudden mid-tro interjection. Surprise. This is where we list those who have come in under the $200 amount and above the $50 amount. Anything under $50 that's anonymous. For those who want to keep their donations anonymous, you can do anything. Weekly donations of $60 are going to be read. If you do $49.99, they're not going to be read. Makes sense? So, for example, thank you for those who have donated in the past and who do in those amounts that don't get read. And if you're considering doing that, you can do a sustaining donation. You can sign up over at PayPal. Just go to cultfan@gmail.com when you're doing that, and you can set it up for a weekly or a monthly, however you like. Or if you want to go for a large amount at once, you can do a yearly donation. Make sure, though, that you get the credit for that. If you want to do something that's above, make sure that you set that up so that you let me know that you're going to want the credit for that for this episode or whichever episode you're doing it for. But yes, if you want to donate to an episode that you hear from last month that you really like, you know, I'll let you do that for now. Anyways, them's the rules until I decide otherwise. For the prettiest one, you know. Alright, and with that, let's jump right back into this. End of your whole life. In order to live a good life, you must know where life leads. And then Brother Goethe, Brother Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, he says, "Perfection is of God. To wish for perfection is of man." So I'll continue. "Life is not given to us that we might live idly without work. No, our life is a struggle and a journey. Good should struggle with evil. Truth should struggle with falsehood. Freedom should struggle with slavery. Love should struggle with hatred. Life is movement, a walk along the way of life to the fulfillment of those ideas which illuminate us, both in our intellect and in our hearts, with divine light." That's after Mazzini there. And it says, "The ideal is within you, and the obstacle to reaching this ideal is also within you. You already possess all the material from which to create your ideal self." That's Thomas Carlyle. And Tolstoy finishes by saying, "We should believe that the goodness which exists in us and in this world will be fulfilled. This is the major condition to make it happen." Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. And furthermore, I think that people who are interested in these kind of things would include people like the woman that I was mentioning earlier. She was the one who I said was died on February 24th. Wonder if you could actually just jump that quickly. The first day of the bis sextum is usually regarded... I think I'm a little out of my territory there. I was trying to make a nice seamless thing into this, but like basically I jumped the gun and now you're hearing me talk about, so, but no, to say, you know, that's very important and true that we must act as if it is the way that it would be so that we can make it happen. I mean, it actually has to have a conceivable perceptuality of potentiality, right, to even exist. Otherwise, there's no room for it in the reality. So, I mean, I have my different sections that I use for basically, like, the value-for-value role-playing games. And these are the sections where people can donate and have their names read. And you'll notice that sometimes I'll leave a space for that. It's the same idea. It's something that the Leap is doing, too. And I don't want to make any Pepe jokes or points probably entering about, you know, the frogs and the leaps and the leap years and stuff like that. So we'll just leave that alone for now. It's, it's not the worst thing to recognize that the election cycles also take place in leap years, and there's a huge amount of emotional focus and, you know, on the massive group scale, because America is so powerful and represents such a huge psychic foundation in the world mind. It's a big fraction of it. You know, there's going to be a lot of intense, you know, bifurcational energy in the years of the rats and the years of the monkeys and the years of the dragons. And I think this has a lot to do with cardinal, immutable, and fixed energies as well. So in certain things in the grander cycle. And I mean, I'm just pontificating now because, like, you know, it's what we do. And I have to get my show out today because, you know, it's literally the last day of February. And I felt that it would be important to do it on this day because it has the energy of being the only time that I could do it. You know, you can only do, you know, it's a special day. It's some of the last hours in February 29th, in fact. So after reading that Tolstoy part to you, I feel like that's something that's really beautiful that, you know, we can share together and use to move forward in our lives. But I also want to make sure that we understand that, you know, there's like answers, and then there's, you know, there's like the different cycles of things, like the three and the sevens, and, you know, being able to integrate the knowledge so that we can use it, right? It's, first of all, it's like things seems like, you know, they're ridiculed first, and then they're, you know, argued, and then they're accepted as they were evident, all that jazz, you know, different cycles of integration of awareness. Like, is this an animist world? How do we square the circle of a monist creator with an animist cosmogony? And furthermore, how do I find a pair of socks that actually match these shoes? No, I'm just kidding. Her name is Rukmini Devi Arundal. Arundali? Jeez. You know, I did okay. Come on, guys. She was born in 1904 on February 29th and died February 24th, 1986. That's who I was trying to think of. And interesting enough, I noticed that the Britannica, because I just found out one of my brethren actually worked for them back in the day, Britannica.com uses the Phi symbol, like the American Psychological Institute, and Epiphone utilize the Neptune trident. Interesting. So here we are, you know, about halfway through the show. Thank God, because I'm just making this up as I go along. And again, you know, this is a solo show, and hopefully I'm being used to get some useful ideas out and to put you in front of the information you need to hear at this time. It's kind of weird, you know, at Chinese New Year, suddenly there's Peter Lavenda's brother just chilling, playing guitar. I'm like, all right, this is the life I live now, you know, and it's the 42nd episode, and dear friend and colleague releases an episode in the same, you know, podcasting. It's the same field. He says, you know, it's time for a marker. And I'm like, yes, it is, man. I'm doing my 42nd show. It's 42, baby. So some people listen to this. And, you know, I have all these ideas. I'm like, okay, I'm going to write down a script. I'm going to do this block of time for this amount. Set the fader in. the music in, do that bit. All right, 5 minutes. That's a paragraph. Okay, I got it structured. Look at that. You can pace it so that I'm speaking with a common decibel heart rhythm rate so that my words are most easily absorbed, and I can do things like that and try to, like, plan out the best podcast I can as, like, an artistic measure, like, perfect art. And, that's in the heart. That's in my heart. But you're getting this stream of consciousness. We're in the Pisces 2 decan now, okay? It's like 10 degrees Pisces. All right, that's where the sun is. My rising is 8 degrees. When the sun, by the way, I'm glad to get around to this finally, because I've hit all the stuff I wanted to get in there. That's good information out there. So, there's other stuff going on around, but I choose what to mention and what not to, of course. But yeah, I was going to say a second ago. Did the Pisces decan walk the other day, but I found out that on it was my grandmother's birthday, and that I found out the other day that she's a rainbow girl. So, like, recently I found out that my mother's father's a Mason. So now you say, oh, yeah, your Masonic grandfather. I say, yeah, which one? Turns out that my Harry Leroy Foster of Isaac Parker Lodge in Waltham, Mass, back in the day. It's my father's father. My Charles Lee Miller is my mother's father in Wellesley Lodge. He was a Scottish Rite himself. And back in the day, it turns out that Grandpa's wife, my father's mother, was actually a rainbow girl. And I'm like, all right. So they formed in 1922. She was born in 1918. Grandpa was born 1919. So Grandma was Saul Omon, and Grandpa was Saul on 3-3, mind you, March 3rd. So his birthday's coming right up. And his son, their son, Uncle Barry. Uncle Barry! Yeah, dude, watch Bushland Adventures. My father's name is Doug, and my uncle's Barry. It's just, come on now. The Twin Peaks stuff and everything is good. Uncle Barry was March 14th on Pi Day, of course. And so Grandma being the 27th and Grandpa being the March 3rd, you got the right in between there going on. So it's this period right here. And anyways, long story short is that Grandma was born right before Rainbow Girls was founded. So it's of all likelihood that when it says in her obituary that she was in the Rainbow Girls, it may be speaking of when I was, when she was dealing with my father as a kid when he was in Demolay, because my father and uncle were in Demolay. But I don't know. If she was in Rainbow, that means that she would have had to know some Masons likely back in the 20s. And so that would mean my lineage goes back even further. But that being said, all that aside, at least now there's another Mason in my family, my mother's father. So there you go. Continuing on to what the show's going to be about, Six of Discs specifically. The Six of Wands will continue to be for the value-for-value role-playing game. Six of Swords continues to be a one-on-one interview. Art, spirituality, and healing. And this cup's it's a round table, obviously, for pleasurable purposes only. Silly hats only. And this one is going to become one where we go out. JJ will take pictures, and we'll look also in certain places for different crystals and rocks depending on the trip, depending on our friends, and maybe we'll interview even some interesting people on site. It'll be more of an earthy in-person interview, but the Six of Discs does remain about earth, pentacles, the discs, and the coinage. So also, the more you donate to this particular one, if you say this over the swords, you donate to the Six of Discs, maybe you double your money sometimes. We'll see about that. For those of you following, this is just how it is. I'm gonna improve the show a little bit. You'll improve with me. This is, rising tide lifts all boats. So we're getting towards the 30-minute mark here, which is lovely because that means I'm only on the hook for about, 12 more minutes? Thank goodness. And so, let's see, what else? I got the Twin Peaks Unwrapped book today, the Mark Frost book. I was on the Twin Peaks Unwrapped podcast recently, for those of you who might have heard that. I appreciate Ben and Brian. I appreciate they're doing the great work that they're doing. Same thing with Scott and everyone over at the Blue Rose magazine. I love you guys. All my Peakies. Gosh, man, we have such a special little, just a special little gift every day, isn't it? You know what I mean. Very lucky. So anyways, more to come on all of this, but it's February 29th. It's nice to get this going. Autumn of 68, the follow-up to Summer of 68. What was it about that? Oh, by the way, that was a leap year. Of course it was. I listened to The Holy Gift earlier today, and I also then listened to Fear Inoculum. Both so good. I was figuring out more about The Tempest and how I missed so much about temperance and being tempered and keeping your temper and temper, and how 7 and 7 is 14, and that's like, you know, the symbol of the man on the artwork, and how the 7 and 7 is 14 is the art card, so you have half of this and half of that, so it's a perfect balance, you know what I mean? And you can actually hear the cork in a couple of other songs. I forget if it was Descending or in Chocolate Chip Trip or something, you can hear it. But yeah, this also like someone who's being sober and then they pop the cork. Fuck it, here we go again. Oops, now I have to click the explicit button. There it goes. We almost made it to the 33 minute. It's good. 33 is nice though. That's a special thing. I'd love that one day, but that's all I'll say. If I'm worthy, it's great. It would be wonderful to experience. So, moreover, thinking about 33 and 42, how they all connect, you can go to the MIT website and just look up 42 and 33. I'm not going to pretend to understand the maths right now, but something about the Fibonacci sequence and getting people to harmonize in a particular rhythmic frequency, an as above, so below. You know, as long as it's done out of free will and it leads to, like, true freedom and, you know, whatever truth truly is, you know, I'll echo anyone who says better morgue than Borg, if you're following me. And also, yes, yeah, Sonic Youth is the American Cocteau Twins. That's true. Let's do that right. That's true. So I'm gonna say also that when you have a system of measurement that requires daylight savings and things like that. Like, who is this Gregor? And what is his egg? Seriously, is it some kind of triumphing tulpa that tills the soil of our minds? Alright, dude, seriously, like, can we have permaculture if we have a broken calendar? Rurred, okay? Start to measure the actual sky. Like, seriously. Yes, I'm saying this. Do you know what the moon is? It's the 9th. He's like, what? Oh, you're going too far. Okay, just reel it in. I'm all about the knowledge. It's like, you know, gotta keep it real. Gotta keep it real. But what's the, you know, how much is supposed to be out there and how much is, like, supposed to not be? That's a question, right? That's a real question. Like, would the world explode if everyone knew everything? That's a question. Anyways, I'm glad you're sticking with me throughout this. I'm going to finish this up and get the intro and the midtro and the outro, throw it on there and upload this. And then, after I do the show today, I still have more to go tonight. I am going to be working on the bare bones of what will eventually culminate by the end of 2020. So enough about that for now, but that is the biggest and bestest and brightest stuff. In the meanwhile, one thing I've noticed is that over the past few years, that even though I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and had those massive changes in my life, especially related to where I was born, and the place that I was born is actually one of the three main living places known for Albert Pike, Brother Albert Pike. So I'm fascinated, too, with the speech that was given at the Feast of St. John's Day and the St. John's Day feast at the Grand Lodge of Masons in Massachusetts. I was just very moved by what was said there by Brother Akram R. Elias. And I'm moved by how it relates to our Plymouth Rock origins and foundings in the northeast corner of the country. And I really respect the efforts that have been put forth to understand the world that we're in. You know, some people really need to cling to certain systems, and other people are able to live a more Taoist perspective. And There are people who are utterly pragmatic and understand that God did make everything, and that a good Christian mystic can say that all of the magic that we see around us, from the astrology to tarot to, you know, any kind of fortune, it's all the face of God. That's what a Christian would call it, the face of God. And I mention this because my own father, my mother's a medieval scholar, and my father's a pastor. Trying to think of what a noble friend of mine, he says, of course you're the son of a medieval Chaucer scholar and a, well, I'll add, a Bowes, a Framingham Bowes plant purchaser in Japan, turned, well, Lutheran pastor. That's my father. I'm the son of a preacher man. My mother studied a lot of Chaucer. And yeah, so, and my brother does a lot of great work up in Lowell. He's a youth organizer. I love my, Jeffrey Niles. That's N-I-L-E-S, right? Jeff was going to be called Margaret. I was going to be called Elizabeth if I was born a girl. Elizabeth Lee Miller Foster. I guess if it was just E-L-F, that would have been cool. Elizabeth Lee Foster. But anyways, enough of that. Pretty little maids in a row, are we? So I can tell that I'm getting tired and that I'm just going to have to keep plowing on through. Because, yes, this show needed to exist for whatever it's worth. It had to exist, and I'm not going to not let it exist, so it had to. And besides, Slardy Bartfest put way too much work into the little bits about the edges of this for you to not listen to it and fully appreciate and even, dare I say, fall in love with this. So I'm going to say a few more things before I let you guys go, because I can pad this to make it at least 42 minutes. Because I'm a professional. And I think I'm going to end with saying that a few cool things coming up. You can sign up for Frater Xavier's Laws of Magic Level 2 course, but that's going to be available very soon, so you only have a few more hours to do that. Fortunately, I'm releasing this the 1st of March or the 29th of February, depending on when you're hearing it. It'll be available then, and if you're good, you're getting on it. So you still have a day or two to sign up. You'll go over to Frater Xavier on Patreon and look that up, or Gumroad, or however you do it. But yeah, I'm starting that up, and I'm also going to be learning astrology with Austin Coppock this year, so that's exciting. So not a bad way to finish up the final solo show 6 of discs for now, and coming back with the more Earthworks-based Adventure Time 6 of discs for next month in March. Who knows, we may release an episode based on the Newport Tower. That's a relevant thing. It would be a year since I have gone to see Jim Egan at the Newport Tower. All sorts of stuff going on in the background. And yeah, think about Newport Tower. Think about Tracy Twyman and the work that I did with her on Miguel's Aeon Byte Live, the Heretics Anonymous, the Theosophy postcards and everything. And yeah, Tracy's good people, man. Well, anyways, God bless Tracy. And yeah, that's you know, it's basically nearing the end of this episode. I can see that I don't need to pad too much more. So there's been a lot of stuff I put into here, and I hope you appreciate those Tolstoy bits in the middle. And I'm gonna say that really there's not much else that needs to be said. I feel really solid about this episode. I feel solid that I was able to put this out there. I'll say something neat about Austin Coppock. He had this Capricorn and Saturn, working with the Grumpy Goat. And you know, to get ready for this episode, I need some zest, some zip, so I get myself some Angry Goat Pepper Company. That's blackberry ghost pepper jam. So yeah, that'll give you the kick you need to get your podcast going. But yeah, that's really about it. This is, you know, the idea came to me. I was talking to Jen. I was saying, JJ, you know, what should I do for this episode? It's a 42 episode. We watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy together. Had a great time. You know, I just watched the Douglas Adams episode on Dave Letterman. And he said at the end, you know, I'm the one who gets to write the story. And I was like, well, but now your eyes are pearls. So who's going to write the story now? And it's never over, you see. And, you know, we've done this before. We are infinite creatures, right? But we're in a time period where we actually have to get our... We have to get this right. And it's not too vague, but... Yeah, you'll hear more from me going forward. But for now, thanks for listening. And thanks for listening to the Six of Discs. Even though we all want answers, as I lead us out for this show, I think that we'll survive just a little longer without them. As long as we can understand that we believe that we will have the best happen.